Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. It's been a fabulous round three in the NBL, a fabulous NBA-NBL couple of games, and we are 1 week away from the WNBL tipping off. Bortond, how are you, my friend?
I'm exceptionally well, because so much has happened that we didn't even really give much of thought to the fact that the Perth Illawarra game was an open roof game. Like, that's, we just kind of took that for granted. That was a pretty major event in its own right.
It was fantastic. It was brilliant. Well, let's start with the WNBL, which we're going to be very brief. We're a week away from, or week and a half, I should say, away from tip-off. Next week is where we're going to go through. Boddy and I have been working and chatting on who's going to win it. It's Townsville for me, but I'll set that separate. And I think it's going to be a brilliant season yet again. I'm excited for it. Boddy, looking forward to it?
Absolutely. I think there's the new management and just the new look of some of the teams and the way they want to go about things. I know from an Adelaide Lightning point of view, I've never been more excited about the future of this club. Not so much this season. I think they're going to have their issues this season, but the change in management and the way they're moving, I think they're going to be back to greatness within a couple of years.
Absolutely brilliant. All right, well, let's move on to the NBL. I think we just start with the NBA games. Wow, Boddy, what two fantastic games. Melbourne only lost by 10, and I say only. If someone would have said to me 10 years ago an NBA team's going to come to Sydney, Melbourne or Sydney or Australia, I'd be like, you're kidding. But I would never have thought an NBL team plays it. I just thought it would be two NBA teams coming down here and putting on a show in a sort of like a prelim game. But to have Melbourne United play, compete, it was just a fantastic weekend, Boddy.
Yeah, absolutely was. And I don't think we can speak highly enough of the way the New Orleans Pelicans embraced it as well. You know, they really threw themselves in and thought, we're going to enjoy this experience. And the way the NBL and Larry Kesselman, hats off to him, the way they looked after him, I'm sure those guys are going to go back, and word of mouth is going to be worth, you know, billions to this country's basketball, because they're going to be saying, this was a great experience. If you want to go to other players, other clubs. I think this is hopefully the start of something really, really good.
I hope so, because, you know, you talk, and I mean, obviously I'm a Sydney sider and follow rugby league. So you talk NRL at the moment, and now they go to Vegas every year. And I remember people were like, oh, now you've got players saying, can I please go? Right. And it's a really big event. Now, what we hope is that the NBA guys are like, man, I want to go down to Australia. Like what you're saying, this would be great. To see the smile on Zion's face, to see the way he spoke, did you see the way he hugged, you know, Dash Daniels at the end of that game? Yes. I mean, obviously, there's some history there with Dyson, but just there was actual pure love that he was happy. He looked great. He was fit. I just couldn't get enough of it.
And I think the thing that surprised them the most was how popular not the NBA is, but that they are.
Yeah.
Like who realized that New Orleans Pelicans had this many Australian fans? You know, I think that was an eye opener for them. The whole event was terrific. The games were just, they were important, obviously, but the whole event was really what carried it.
It's so like good. You know the iceberg, like the game was just a top bit. Everything exactly underneath, right. You know, the three times the amount. Just brilliant. Just to see everyone and again the smile on the faces. What a great game. What a spectacle. And jam, I love that back at Rod Laver Arena. Oh, yes. That was amazing. All right. Let's talk about the round three. There was only a few games. There were some really ugly games. And I should say teams is probably a better word.
There were two ugly games.
But that we're going to go teams this time, and then we'll talk top six afterwards, okay? Because there's only a few games. So let's talk about Cairns-Adelaide. Oh, Cairns, that was awful. Adelaide start a season now, 2-0 for the first time in 18 seasons, Boddy. 18 seasons. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't have told you that. You see, you think I'm a 36ers nuffy, but I couldn't have told you that if I was strapped to a chair and they were going to shoot me. I wouldn't have known that. I knew they hadn't won.
That's because you got Alzheimer's.
No. It's dementia, actually. No, I've been with Tasmania.
And don't call me Ashley.
Since day one. But that's fantastic, and they played very well. They were very efficient. I like the new guy that's come in. He's going to add to that front court rotation. Basically, I think they're in very good shape.
Rakosevic, I hope I'm saying
Rakosevic. Nick Rakosevic.
He was good.
And again, these a lot of these guys like Andrew Andrews when he first arrived, now TJ Starks and Rakus, they just sort of get here and they're straight away in. Like you got 48 hours. Like he met the team up in Cairns. So like what chance did he have to fit in? So the fact that he fit in so well so quickly augurs really well for 36 fans.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you bring in another import? Bryce obviously is naturalized, so they've got a third spot or a third import spot. Do you bring one in?
I wait till the NBA rosters are all finished, right? And then I have a look at if there's a point guard around that we might
right. See, look at. I've been asked this, and I'd like to give my opinion. There would be two options, or a number of options, but if you bring a point guard, then you can't bring – I think it would be so unfair to Flynn Cameron to bring him off the bench. He is a legitimate starter in this team, this league. I really like him. And I think it would be a real shame if he was to board off the bench. You're not bringing DJ off the bench. You couldn't.
Why not?
And there's no way
– well, why not?
No, because I don't think he's not that player that would want that. I think you would lose him. I'm saying
but you have to sacrifice for a team result. Somebody's got to sacrifice. Why would you ask this young man who's got this extraordinary potential and is already playing well, ask him to sacrifice? Why don't you ask an older player, come on, give us that punch off the bench. Come on in and go bang, bang. Maybe he's not the right type of person for that. I don't know. You know, Dejan Vasiljevic far better than I would. As a person, so maybe he wouldn't.
Look, good guy. I just think he's just that X factor. I think it'd be a waste. Now, if you don't want him in the team, that's a different story. I'm not suggesting that's the case, but like, he's a starter, or you don't play him. Like, I mean, it's not. I just don't know. You know, I look at like a Quatnoy that comes off the bench and goes bang, bang, bang. I guess you could play that role, but you know, he needs the ball in his hand. I mean, I think it's a really big decision they've got. When you look at Bryce had 28, Flynn Cameron had 20, Isaac Humphries and DJ had 19. There's your call, right? Yeah. You know,
we're not even talking about Zillow and Cheatham, who is the most complimentary of imports, he takes me back to Darnell Mee as a sort of guy that doesn't care about his numbers, cares about winning.
4 points, 4 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, that's, it's awesome. I can't not touch on Cairns. That was shit. Excuse the language. That was abysmal.
Yep, absolutely. There's no excuse for it, really, because you're paid professionals. You know, that there's no excuse for that.
Jack McVeigh cannot take 8 shots again in this team. That's what it shows. He's got to be taking 15, 20 shots.
Did you not think Andrew shot the ball too much?
In that game, probably, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think he took himself as the first option.
I mean, he went 4 of 12 from the field, had 10 points, 7 rebounds. Sorry, 7 assists. You know, I would expect them to come out and go bang this weekend because that's
so
what 40
terminal.
Would do. Terrible.
So terminal. Come down, jack it up. It's like, come on, run some stuff. Make them play defense. Like that's the question mark about Adelaide. Can they play defense? Well, you got to challenge that. And jacking up the shot doesn't.
Let's go west. Open air game, like you said. Perth scored 10 points in the first quarter. Looked pretty ordinary. But as John Riley seems to be doing with this team, he finds ways and... Dare I say it, Jaron really is the best point guard in Perth right now.
That's right. This other experiment with Dante Russo-Nance, that's a fail. It's a total fail. And I know why he did that. He's got to try and find that person. Well, the person is the same one that goes home with him and lives in the same house. And it must be awkward. I feel for John because it must be awkward.
Yeah, it would be.
Because, yeah, he's under pressure.
Unless you're Lindsay and Andrew Gaze, it would be awkward to coach a kid, right?
Yeah. The only other one I can think of that's comparable would be Cal and CJ Bruton.
Yes, good call.
You know, yeah. But
he did really, coach him in Canberra, did he?
No, in Canberra or somewhere, I think briefly. But we also had Alan and Stephen Black. I mean, you can find him if you look for him. But this one, because of the circumstances in Perth, I think there's a lot of.
Actually, that's a good question. Yeah. How many father son coaches, you know, I can think of Brendan Joyce, you know, like how many actually not just play, but coach their son, Brian and Simon Curl. Like I'm trying to think how many.
Brian Gorgian and you.
Hey, he you're, never you're coached his adopted me. Son, he you? Never coached me.
No. You adopted him, I think.
Well, let's talk about the game, though. I think their best team is having Mason Jones at the point, but I haven't seen him at the point to know if that's the game, because I think they need Mason there. I would have thought Ben Henschel at the two, but he's struggling a little bit. We'll come back to that. Then you've got Doolittle, then you've got Winler, and then you've got JLA. I thought that's their core, and then you fit people in around that, right? Yeah. And, you know, I like Lat Mayhem. Sunday Dech, he's got to come back into that team. I'm starting Sunday Dech. Right, because I think he's one of those guys. You want that defensive nous to go to the Bryce, to go to the Bryce Hamilton, to go to the Jalen Adams or Casey Prey, the Kendrick Davis, you know, the Milton Doyle. These are the guys that I need to go after. So I would be starting Sunday Dech. I don't know how John's going to fit all this in. He's done it many times before. He also always seems to find a way. What are you doing?
I'm persisting with Mason Jones at the point to start with. He's an import. You brought him in for that role. Give him some time to play that role and see if he's any good. And I'm backing him up with Jaron. And if Mason Jones is a fail, then I'm starting Jaron. Really, I'm starting him.
Well, I agree with you, but if Mason Jones is a fail, but I mean, the guy's a G League bloody MVP, mate.
I'm just saying, you got to give him a few weeks if he's not working as the point guard. Maybe you move him to the two. I'm just saying if he's a fail in that role, but I don't see why he should be if you give him the minutes. So he's got great options.
Let's talk Illawarra. Trouble.
Jaquari McLaughlin's got to go. I'm sorry, he's not good enough.
Well, I'm trying to be, you know, I want to see this team run with Dave O'Hickey. The whole plan was to have him at point and Jaquari McLaughlin backing him up, right? That's the whole thing. I don't know if it's going to get there because I don't know if they'll be able to hold off that long. But the struggle that I'm having so much now with Jaquari, I'm sure he's a very good player. I've got no doubt about that. It is not complimenting Tyler Harvey. That's where I see is the problem.
Yes.
Nothing to do with Jaquari. It is just not complimenting. You know, Tyler Harvey, he has had 19 shots on the weekend. He made six, but 19, don't quote me, what, 15 of them are against the muscle? Like dribble, step back, floater. Like he's not getting those open free looks that they were getting last year.
Mate, when he's got a foul call in his favour on Jesse Wagstaff, right, and then he drops the ball on Wagstaff out of frustration, and gets a tick, you go, okay, this guy's not in a good place right now.
Good call.
Why is that? And you've already answered why that is, because he doesn't have a complimentary point guard. So that's what you. All right, so we see how Dave O'Hickey goes, but you've already said it. You want to see that scenario and see how McLaughlin works off the bench, but we're seeing how McLaughlin works with him right now. It ain't working.
No, you're
right. So what's
the
point in persisting with that?
Yeah. Looking, I don't think it helps when, you know, unfortunately, Toddy Blanchfield goes 0-7. Yeah. You know, like they don't have Hung Jung Lee coming off the bench where they can play either of them. Right.
Yeah, see, was that why they brought in Jonah Antonio, though? Because he's a three-point specialist. Like,
yeah, he played 3 minutes, but he didn't take a shot. So. Mm. I don't know.
There's some issues there.
I like Jonah. He had some good games for Cairns. I just haven't seen him train here. He might not be ready. I don't know. You know,
let's go the other Jonah, Bolden. He's done nothing. Done nothing.
No, yet. Jonah looked very look, he had 7 rebounds, but he took one shot. You know, I know Jonah. Yes, I love the family. I just need to see him get his legs under him. I'm excited for him that this is the first time he's had a true center that he can play with, that he's not the center. Yeah. Right. When the last few years he's been in the 5 spot, I want to see him in the 4. I want to see him, you know, Jabal go down low, go to work and see what Jonah does, get his legs under him. But he's got to start to go and go quick.
Yeah. Yeah. He's overdue.
All right. Let's go to the next game. And if I go to BOTINAGY.com and I look at what we learnt in round 3, my co-advisor here, Body Nodge, gives it to that idiot in Sydney for his call. Let me just set this up for the scene, people. So Bonnie and I have a great thing. Wow, you can take the boy out of the Kings, but you can't take the Kings out of the boy. My podcast buddy, hey, take that buddy out. Brad Rosen was in purple and gold gear calling the Sydney New Zealand game, especially in the first half. Bonnie goes whack to me.
I thought actually you were going to talk about what I really thought you were going to say then was my summary of New Zealand, because I said Petteri Koponen's got to go. The coach is not getting it done. And I'm
not sure if you heard my last comment, but you absolutely gave it to me online here. We're not talking about Petteri here, mate.
Well, I didn't say you should be sacked, though, did I? Which I did
you
say
probably
about.
You did. It just got cut out by your wife.
Yeah, strong editing. Anyway, no, I think the New Zealand team is in trouble, really, because Parker Jackson Cartwright, okay, we've worried about his ribs, but he's playing, and he played with I felt such abandon that he didn't I don't feel like he cared a lot. You know, his care factor seemed low. Like, I'll just take a shot now, or I'll go 1-on-5, or, you know, I just didn't like it.
I did struggle to call that game. You said my purple glasses came through a little bit. Probably did, and that's fine. It did, because I was struggling for New Zealand. You know, like, the first half was okay. 31-18 in the third, they lost. Game was over, and you're right. They just didn't seem to want to get out of that gear. And the one thing I really noticed, and I don't know if you got it on air, Isaiah Brockington came off. And when he came off, you could just see the frustration, a little bit like what you were saying with Tyler Harvey. Yep. Not at his teammates, not at anything, just that this is driving me nuts. I can't get going, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't look like a team that was 0-3 coming into this game going, we've got to get a win. They just look like we're going through the motions. And I sit there and think, has Copenhagen lost the locker room already? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what change. You've got three good imports. You've got a core of New Zealand players that are currently not playing at their best, you know. But I'm thinking to myself, what do they need to do to change? I don't know what it can be, bar the coach, or they're just going with it.
See, I'll look back at Modi Mayor, and I think Modi Mayor with this same group of people, they would be in much better shape right now.
Well, he'd be ripping into them every play.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be demanding that they give their best, not expecting it. So where do you turn? Judd Flavel? Is that where you turn?
I think so. Like, I mean, if you talk about, you know, the flavour of New Zealand, I mean, that guy's right there. You know, I saw him.
Oh, the flavour of New Zealand. I like it.
You like that one? But I think he's a fabulous coach. A good mate of mine, Ben Madgen, as you know, played under him at Southeast. I think it was when he was an assistant at Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. He couldn't speak more highly of him. Like, he loved him, absolutely loved him. And I know all the New Zealand boys think about it too. So, look, not mine there. I saw Dylan Boucher, one of my favourite players. I loved the way he played. I saw him there, gave him, you know, a high five and a bit of a hug, as basketballers do, and, you know, had a brief chat. But, you know, he's a smart brain. He's not an idiot. They know, you know, he knows basketball. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. But let's go to the other side. Was that New Zealand lost the game, or did Sydney win it?
No, Sydney did enough. Did enough, but Sydney was not impressive.
No, Kendrick Davis was. Sydney wasn't.
Yeah, he was okay. He was good.
Well, 11 of 17.
Yeah, he wasn't 9 of 27. Yeah,
you can't do much. Sorry, 11 of 27. Sorry, no, 11-17 with 28 points. You can't do much. Okay,
but have a look at Delhi. What did he score?
Donut, mate. Yeah.
Right. And what was? Yeah, like 0 of what? 7, 6. Eight? Six, okay. His three-point shot, my God.
6 rebounds, 7 assists.
Yeah, okay, but he can't, you know, if his bully ball isn't working on PJC down low, well, you know, what are you going to get?
Well, at the moment, he's in his two games, well, he scored 10 in the first, 0 in the second. He's 5 of 21 from the field, 0 of 5 from the three-point line, and shot 1 free throw. So, but look, you know, that's going to, it'll
I'm
be
just
interesting.
Saying, all I'm getting at is that I wasn't impressed with Sydney that much. You know, it was
Tim
very
Suarez.
Evident early. Yes, so it was evident early that they were going to win the game because they're just better. They're better organised. They're better coached. And they got, I don't know if they got better personnel, but they got personnel that knows how to work together. And they were going to get the result. But they didn't sort of like, if you'd never seen them before and you tuned in, they didn't blow you away thinking, wow, that's a team that's going to win the championship. They got a lot of work to do to make the six.
The more I watched them play, the more I realised that I'd be playing Malawatch a lot more. I love him.
Me too.
And for me to be able to say, I think the Kings are a legitimate top four, they need Xavier Cooks at that level. He's not at the moment.
Right. 8 points and 8 points.
Yeah, if he goes to that level, then everyone else will rise around him. He's that type of player. But, yeah, if they're, you know, like, they're not going to get that out of Galloway weekly. You know, Bull Quall will do what, you know, like, no. Right? That's why I'm playing Malawatch. Quatnoy, they need to get him going. But, yeah, they can't rely on Kendrick to get 30 every week because it's not going to be enough.
All right. They were good. They were good enough.
Congratulations to Sean Bruth as well, who we have had on the program before. 350 NBL games. Fantastic.
Yep. And 3,500 taunts from him for opponents. At least 10 a game. At least 10 a game. Well done.
Oh, let's go to this one. The Tasmania Jack Jumpers go 0-3 on the road to start the season for the first time ever. Brisbane missing Prather, missing Freeman Liberty, McDaniel and Norton. But TJ Starts makes his NBL debut, but Josh Bannon goes bang to his old teammate. Brisbane don't get the win. Tasmania get it on the road. Great win.
Yeah, it was a good win, but I was probably a little more impressed with what Brisbane left out there, because when you take the four guys you've mentioned, plus Jalen Adams and Tyrrell Harrison, is their first six.
Yeah.
So you've taken four guys out of their first six. Then Jalen Adams has had a nice game, but he's had seven turnovers. And yeah. Tyrrell Harrison is going up against Will Magne, who he used to be understudy for at Brisbane, and he played like it. So really, how did they stay in that game? They stayed in that game because of Tane Murray and Alex Dukas and Tristan Devers and Jack Purchase coming and hitting two threes in a row. And, you know, that Callum Dalton, these guys that we don't really know much about, for the most part, really carried them well. And I was very impressed with that from Brisbane. I thought they showed a lot of heart and they were unlucky to lose. There's some calls, some non-calls in that
heart
last minute.
Heart don't get you win, mate. Heart don't get you win all the time. You've got to get wins. You need to win.
Yeah. And they're what, 1-3, 1-2, 1-3, something like that now?
Yeah. Can I just talk about the elephant in the room, and that's the coaching discussion. We're going to be very quick here. One of the things that's been asked is, what's the problem with Stu Lash getting his assistant coaches to do timeouts and things? Here's my belief, and I want to get yours. Sure. I have absolutely no problem, and I think it is necessary, when an assistant coach can run a play for a team. I talked Tasmania, and I thought Jared Weeks seems to be doing this quite often now, where a designated player is needed and the coach looks at him and says, draw that up. They would have practiced that at training, they would have gone through it 1,000 times, and when I need you and I call you, Weeksy, to run that play, I want you sitting in front of the players and doing that. I'll do the rest, right? The situation for me, from what I'm watching for Brisbane, is not so much that. It is not, okay, Greg Vanderjack, I want you to go in there and do that. It's he's just running the timeout. I find that a little bit weird. I haven't seen it in the time that I'm coaching. I'm not saying it's not going to work, but I just find that interesting how you can have, in a sense, two coaches.
Well, that's the thing, Brad. I've never believed in coaching by committee. I do believe you have assistants that have specific roles. And if one of them is to have the last play for the quarter or the game, whatever, you sit him down and say, okay, give him the play. And you hand over in that situation. But really, they need to listen to one voice. And when you've got Greg Vanderjack, Darryl McDonald, these are guys that have got, you know, good backgrounds in the game, no question. But then Stu Lash, like, where does he fit? So I don't think you can coach by committee. I really don't. But,
well, Matt, you know, it remains to be seen. Well, I think Matt coached 27 games for United as a head coach 1 year. So he's coached like 40-odd games and stuff like that. It was 27 one game. And Vanderjack's had 15. So it's not like they don't know what they're talking about. This has nothing to do with them. They are fantastic coaches. You just can't seem to have two or three head coaches. Anyway, let's move on. Can I get your best moment, please?
My best moment of the week was Trey Murphy from the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And he's out and he throws down a windmill dunk, which is very NBA-esque. It gave everyone in that venue, and that's close to 15,000 people, a real NBA look. Your best moment?
Well, firstly, how good did Rod Laver Arena look? Outstanding. Yeah. But anyway, my best moment, I'm staying in that game as well, Milton Doyle. 25 points. Now, we talk how the game just is, you know, he just seems to have so much time. Same thing in the NBA. He's knocking down threes, and that was the NBA three-point line as well, not just a standard three-point line. So that was my best moment, but I did have a little side one, watching Dash Daniels have a crack. That was great. All right, give me player of the round, please.
Look, It's a toss-up from two players that play for Tasmania. I mean, I really like Josh Bannon. He carried him through, but that TJ Starks, he was a bit Andrews early, struggling a bit. And then in that last quarter, he's got 13 points and he's turned the game around because the kids have taken Brisbane to the lead and he's taken it upon himself. And I thought that was an outstanding quarter from him. Missed a couple of shots late and then Scott Roth took him out. But I think he laid that foundation for them to come back and win the game, and then Josh Bannon finished it off. Who's your man?
Well, you just mentioned his name, Josh Bannon. I can't go against it. 23 points, 15 rebounds. He just carried that team to a win. He played 37 minutes. So, you know, you could see, and that's what I love, let him ride. He was great. Got some good stuff from Starks, like you said. Can I have your nudge? Sorry?
Career high 15 rebounds.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Against an old team, nothing would make you feel better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. My nudge nasty is basically about flops. And I just want to say, I mean, we've talked about flops a lot. Just call it. You see a flop, call a tech foul. Do what the EuroLeague ref did a couple of weeks ago on Kendrick Davis. He flopped, gave him a tech foul, no warning, nothing. There it is, boom. You flopped, it was obvious. Now, if they make those calls early in that game against Tasmania and Brisbane, then we don't have the controversy that we ended up with in the last few plays where Josh Bannon wasn't called for a charge at one end and then Tyrrell Harrison was called for a charge at the other end. I'm not disputing the call, but both times the defensive player went down, you know, a little bit too easily. Now, I think that they may well have been charges at both ends, but the flop, because there was additional flop, that makes it controversial. Call a fouls on them early. Stop that early. What's
Fair
your...
My Rose and Rattler, injuries. This is driving me nuts. What is going on? I've never seen so many injuries. This has been going on for a while now. Like, we have more players sitting on the sideline. Like, Brisbane, you had There's just so many injuries going on. Like, and it's, you know, not, I mean, you can't, if it's a head knock, it's a head knock, right? But the soft tissue injuries, the hamstrings, the quads, the, you know, ankles, feet, toes, whatever it may be, you know, like, I just don't understand. Is there something we've got to look at in the sport? Because we're just not getting our best players on the court. I just can't believe how much talent. Is sports science too much these days? I don't know. Yeah. It's not just basketball, by the way. You know, I don't know what it is.
What you're saying, we need to look at our strength and conditioning department.
Maybe. I don't know. Are our players, you know, like, are they being told to sit out more? Are we sitting out too much precautionary? I don't know what it is. I'm not suggesting anything. I just hate seeing all the injuries that we've got. I don't like it at all. All right, moving on. Give me your winners and we're out of here. Tomorrow night, the Ignite Cup starts. Looking forward to it. It's great. The Ignite Cup's going to be an in-season tournament. You get points per quarter. You get overall points. Yes, points per quarter.
I like the Blitz.
And then there will be the top two teams play off, which I heard today will be in Gold Coast, buddy. Every game that you play is part of the NBL except the grand final. That's not. And the winner takes home $300,000, which is split 60% of that through the players. So it's going to have some nice little to it. Who wins out of New Zealand, Illawarra?
Illawarra.
Agreed. Sydney versus Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Agreed. Adelaide versus Tasmania.
Adelaide.
I'm going to go for a little upset here, Tasmania, and here's why. I think one eye is on the Saturday game for Adelaide, and I'll come to that in a second. Cairns at home versus Perth.
Perth.
Nah, Cairns. I think they bounce back.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Last time they played shocking, they bounced back really well.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with you. No, I'm going to go with upset. I think Perth is still sorting out how they want to run that group
here. I agree. Illawarra at home versus Brizzy. Look, I'm going to assume there's still injuries. I'm going Illawarra.
Yeah, likewise. Same reason.
And here's why I picked Adelaide to lose, because on Saturday night, Kendrick Davis back to the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. Sydney Kings take on Adelaide. Wow, that is going to be beauty.
Okay, who top scores, Bryce Cotton or Kendrick Davis?
Bryce, man. Bryce.
All right, Adelaide wins that one.
Yeah, I can't go against that as well. But that's picking the Kings to lose both this weekend from both of us. New Zealand at home versus Southeast Melbourne, mate. They're going to go 0-6. I can't see
it. Southeast Melbourne.
Yeah, wow. And then I think Melbourne take care of Cairns.
Yes, likewise. Although Cairns' record against Melbourne
is good.
Has been good. And yeah. And in Melbourne as well. They've got a couple of good upsets there.
Body, right. Thank you, my man. That See is ya. It. Everyone, thank you so much. Look out for socials. Watch us out. We're loving what we've been able to do with you guys this year. And keep the feedback coming. And as we said, next week we'll be talking about the WNBL as well. Body, thanks, mate. Have a good week.
You too.
See you next time. Did you really mean to write that against me, Body? Why would you say that about me?
Because I like Matty Russell.